Beruchim, Abba'im, Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight, Shi'ur is being studied for Hashem Gittel Bat Feiga. Enna refanada, enna refanada, enna refanada, refuata nefesh, refuata guf, refuata kerubal, abo v'chen yirasom, v'nomar, amen. I make an extra special prayer because the name that was given to me went through similar operations that I went through on my eye. So I know exactly what they're going through, so I can relate a bit. But I'm confident that the lady Gittel Bat Feiga will recover Bezat Hashem properly in the right time. Although it's a process to recover anytime there's trauma to the to any part of the body, specifically the eye, which is very sensitive. But Bezat Hashem she'ela refuah shelema b'toch she'ar chodei amo Yisrael. Amen. We are studying tonight Parashat Vayeshev. These are, again, difficult parashiyot. Tonight we grapple with one of the most difficult of all the parashiyot. Of course, the story of the brothers selling Yosef. After they sell Yosef, they come back with the doused ketonet, the coat of Yosef, the cloak. It's doused in blood. And they go back to Yaakov Avinu and they present the evidence. The Pasuk writes that when they came back to their father, Vayikhu et ketonet Yosef, Vayishchatu se'id izim, they slaughtered a goat. Vayitpilu et ha-kutonet badam, they dipped it in blood. Vayishadichu et ketonet ha-pasim, they sent it back as evidence. Vayaviu el avihem. Vayomeru zot matzanu. They said, look what we found. Haker na ha-ketonet bencha hi imlo. They asked them a question. Do you recognize it? Is it your son's ketonet or not? The pasuk says, Vayakira. He recognized it. Vayomer ketonet beni. Chayara'a achalatu. So he answers, back ketonet beni, the ketonet of my son. If you look at Rashi, Rashi over here fills in some blanks. Vayomer ketonet beni, hi zu. Because the pasuk is short. It's as if Yaakov Abinu said, yes, ketonet beni, parentheses, hi zu. This is the ketonet. You always wonder if Rashi has to add these words in, so why didn't the Pasuk add it in? For whatever reason, the Pasuk just says, Vayomer ketonet beni. So Rashi helps us, ketonet beni, who's there? To make it flow. But for some reason, the Pasuk is hasir. The Pasuk is deficient. It's missing those two words. Okay, it's an observation. Again, before we are able to make a proper analysis on this very complicated parasha, we need to just make some observations on different words and different problems that we have in the text, and then hopefully we'll be able to unravel it. The next pasuk says, "Vayikra Yaakov simlotav." So it says he rips his clothes. I assume that he's ripping his clothes as a sign of avilut. Vayikra, person loses his son, so they make kiri'ah. I understand that. But the pasuk also says, vayasem sak bimotnav. I'm going to read the English here. And he placed sackcloth on his loins. Okay, I need an English for the English. Loins, I'm assuming, is his waist. Over here, motnav, motnayim. Again, I'm not an expert, Baruch Hashem, on the sackcloth, how you wear it. The pasuk doesn't even say he wore it. It says Vayasem, he placed it. By Mordechai, if you remember in the Gilat Esther, it says Vayilbash sack. It seems they used to make like a potato sack, and they put it on their body, and it itches them, and it causes them uncomfortability. That's part of the tikkun. Over here, it doesn't say he wore it. Vayasem. Vayasem sack b'motnav. He puts it on his waist. I don't know exactly the location over there. Vayitabel al beno yamim rabim. And he mourns his son, yamim rabim, which means many days. To me, this is the most difficult part of the story. Halakha says, 3 days for crying, 7 days for sitting, and 30 days for hispedim, and so on and so forth. Maze yamim rabim. It seems this is an overly done mourning period. How do I know it's overly done? Because the pasuk says his children finally came to him and said, "Dad, titnachem, be consoled." And the pasuk says, "Vayma'en titnachem, I refuse." He says, "I have to be very careful what I'm going to tell you now, but I cannot accept that if Yaakov thought that Yosef had really died, like most people understand this story, that he couldn't get over it." Yaakov is one of the Avot. He's the Bechir Sheva Avot. When we go to Aharon HaKohen, for example, that lost two of his sons, in a moment's notice, B'yom Simchat Libo, on the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, and the pasuk immediately says, "Vayidom Aharon." Aharon accepts it. Not only he accepts it, but a few minutes later, the Torah tells us he receives a prophecy from God. That means he was able to maintain his equilibrium to the extent where he was still in the state of mind to receive prophecy. God comes to Aharon and tells him, "Yain v'shechar al tesht." That means he wasn't depressed. He wasn't a miyuash. He wasn't desperate. And over here, by Yaakov Avinu, forgive me again, by Ma'en Litnachem, Yamim Rabim. Then he says, Vayomer, Ki ered il beni avel she'ola. Wow. English again. I will go down to the grave mourning for my son. Go down to the grave. As he said, he's going to take this to the grave. He's telling you, Beferush, he's not going to get over this. What kind of even talk is that? That talk, Yered El Beni Avel, you hear that from Hasbun Shalom? Common people talk like that. Take it to the grave. He's never going to get over it. It's a strong language. And then the pasuk says, Vayevko to Aviv. Now I have to be honest. Over there, Vayevko to Aviv doesn't mean that Yaakov was crying. Because Rashi says on that, I mean, I might as well tell it to you, because I know after the class you're going to double check everything I say, and you're going to come back and say, "Oh, Rabbi, you said, but there's Rashi, you didn't quote it." So I'm giving you full disclosure over here. Vayevko to Aviv Yitzhak haya boche. Wow. Meaning, Vayevko to Aviv, Aviv shel Yaakov. Yitzhak was crying because he saw his son crying. That's the way that she learns it. But en mikra yotze mide pishuto. I mean, I'm not putting my hands over Rashi, but when you read the pasuk, Vayevko to Aviv, the pashut, peshat, it sounds like Yaakov was crying. This becomes very difficult. Why is the tzaddik Yaakov Avinu unable to get over it? I understand Ben Zikunim, I understand you want to tell me in the vernacular his favorite son. I understand. Afal Pichen. We've seen throughout the generations great tzaddikim that dealt with Bar Minan lo alenu velo alechem losses, and they coped. Gedolei Yisrael in our time, the Hafetz Chaim, great Hachamim had great losses, and their reaction immediately was, the Hafetz Chaim said after he suffered a loss, until now I had to divide my love between my son and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'm able to direct all my love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something to that effect. And they go, 3-7, 1 year, and finish. And here Yaakov Avinu by Ma'en, he refuses. It needs a perush. Not only that, if you look at Rashi, which I think this Rashi is the key of the whole episode here. Vayomer ketonet beni, haya ra'a achalatu. So Rashi says, look at this Rashi here. We read it and we don't understand what we're reading it because it's not consistent. So we just read it and we say, somebody will explain it to us one day. Today's the day. Hayara achalatu nitznitza bo ruach hakodesh. At that moment, Yaakov received a flash of ruach hakodesh. Sofo shetitkarebo eshet potifar. That means at that moment he saw that Eshet Potiphar is going to try to seduce Yosef, and he saw that whole episode. What does that mean, Rabotai? When I read this Rashi, this tells me that we might not have been understanding this parasha in its depth all these years. We always understood that Yaakov thought that Yosef was dead, and he couldn't cope, and he couldn't get over it, and he wasn't able to become comforted. But when we read this Rashi, Rashi gives us a new understanding that Yaakov Avinu, you know why he wasn't able to get over it? Because he knew that Yosef was alive. But alive where? In Eretz Rechoka, in a far off land, in a land of Egypt, which is called Ervat Mitzrayim, to Avat Mitzrayim, the lowest place on earth of decadence and degeneracy and loneliness. And how in the world is Yosef? There's not even any Jews in Mitzrayim, even Chabad wasn't there yet. And now all of a sudden you put your Yosef HaSadiq, your Yaakov's prized son. If Yosef is dead, he dies as a Jew. He dies as a Jew, so we say Kaddish. 12 months later, we're okay. But if Yosef goes down to Egypt, and Yosef, lo aleinu velo aleichem, becomes assimilated, and gets caught up in all the Egyptian culture, now already Yosef's neshama is in jeopardy. On the loss of Jewish soul, there is no consolation. Of course, Aharon HaKohen Vayidom Aharon, because he knew Nadav Avihu went straight to Gan Eden. Mikrovaya Kaddish. So right away he was able to calibrate himself. He was able to balance himself. Mikrovaya Kaddish, they're going straight to Gan Eden. He's a proud father. He's going to miss them, but he's a proud father. And the same thing with all the tzaddikim that were able to cope, because they knew Minuhatam began Eden Elyon. However, Yaakov Avinu, when he sees Nitzesa bo ruach hakodesh, Eshet Potifar, he says, Shema Yisrael, look where he's going to be. the son for 17 years that's learning in the Bet Midrash of Yaakov Avinu, Ben Zekonin, Bar Hakim, who there, and all of a sudden now he's in a place over here with foreign women, Goyot, Nisyonot, tests that are superhuman. So Yaakov Avinu said, this is a big problem, because if you told me that Yosef was really dead, Mimela, we can calibrate ourselves. But to come along and tell us that he's alive and he's in such a place, it's just a matter of time. Where Chas v'Shalom, one of the Shevatim, Shevteka, Bechir Sheva Shevatim, the choice of the Shevatim, Yaakov Yosef. The rabbis compare and they say, if there would have been a fourth Av, there's only three Avot. But if there had been a fourth Av, it'd be Yosef. Ele Toledot Yaakov, Yosef. Tefilot keneged Avot tekenu. Abraham tiken tefilat Shacharit. Yitzchak tiken tefilat Mincha. Yaakov tiken tefilat Arbit. And the Zohar Chadash says, Yosef tiken tefilat Musaf. Yosef Musaf. So you see, his status of Avot. And the Baalei Musar also talk that just like this Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim by Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Yosef also has that power of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. He paves the way for future Jewish history. The other Shevatim, no. Yosef, yes. So could you imagine? Yaakov knows what he has, and now you're telling me, Behir Sheva Shevatim? Finished. He's going to get lost in Egyptian society. He's going to lose his Jewish identity. Once you accept that fact, I don't think the Shi'ur yet has recognized the bomb that I dropped tonight on this story, because I'm making it very, very pashut that this is the way we're understanding it. When you leave, you're going to smack yourself and say, what just happened over there? Did the rabbi say that Yaakov knew that Yosef was alive? Yes, that's what we're saying here tonight. But for 100 years, we're always learning that he thought he was dead, but I have to read it as she. What am I doing with the sashi over here? He saw Eshet Potiphar and Yosef. If Yosef's dead, what is he seeing? It's a wrong movie he's seeing. It's a wrong channel. And it's a bad reception. I continue. When the Pasuk says, Vayakira, he saw the ketonet, Vayomer ketonet beni hayara'a achalatu, he saw the hayara'a. Who's the hayara'a? Eshet Potiphar. It's nekeba, hayara'a. She's the hayara'a. She's the wild beast. The hayara'a is Eshet Potiphar. So he saw Hayara'a Akalatu is going to try to devour my son. That's why probably, we'll continue for a minute. And then he says, Ki ered el beni she'ola. I have no choice but to go down to Egypt to save my son. Not I'll take it to the grave. Did Yaakov Avinu ever go down to Egypt? He went down to Egypt. Because if you remember in the story, when Yosef is with Eshet Potiphar and he's about to succumb to the temptation, who does he see in the window? Demut diyukno shel Aviv. What does that mean? That means Yaakov Avinu, he did everything in his possibility to save his son Yosef. Even if he has to make a trip down to Egypt, what does it mean? That means he saw the image of his father. And that's what Yaakov Avinu meant when he said, Ki ered el beni she'ol, I'm going to have to go down to the graveyard in Egypt. To the low place in Egypt, Tum'at Mitzrayim, and even if it comes to that extent that I have to go down to Abel Beni She'ola, so be it. Which means, what would a father not do to save his son? What would a father not do in order to protect his child from going off the derech? When it says in the pasuk, Vayevk oto aviv. You know what Vayevk oto aviv is? He cried. Because that's what a Jewish father and Jewish mother does for their children. They cry for their children. And what was he crying for his children? He was crying that Yosef HaSadiq stays on the straight and narrow path. Morid de Marot. I told you many times, when I was away on one of my trips in the Far East, there was a lady from the community, mainstream woman. We sat down to have lunch in Hong Kong, and she doesn't eat. I joked with her, I said, it's kosher, you can eat, it's kasher. She says, no, Rabbi, of course, I know it's kasher, I see the rabbi eating. Oh, but I'm not, thank you, but no thank you. It was a Thursday. I said, no, it's unacceptable, we traveled so long, you have to eat something. She said, I don't want to say it too loud. I'm fasting. Fasting? I said, maybe I got jet lag, I missed the ta'anit, maybe it's ta'anit Esther, maybe they have a special ta'anit in Hong Kong today, I don't know what she's fasting. She says, I fast every Monday and Thursday. Every Monday and Thursday? It's not Shuv Avim, it's not a... What do you fast Monday and Thursday for? For my children. What do you mean for your children? That they should be healthy, and they should get married to proper families, and they should have children themselves, they should have parnasa, and they should have it easy, and shalom ba. Whoa! Whatever I was eating, I couldn't swallow after I saw such a lady over here fasting every Monday and Thursday. So I go to my wife, I say, this lady, you know her? So I don't know the lady, but I know her children. She says, I have to tell you something. You never saw children like this in your life. Kulam kidushim, kulam tidushim. She doesn't even know. I said, my wife, I told her, think it's a coincidence? The mother's been fasting for 20 years, Monday and Thursday. Now you're telling me you never met children like this before? It's no coincidence. The prayers and the tefillot and the ta'aniyot of the parents, they're going to influence the child. There's nothing to talk about. Always people call me up. They said, Rabbi, my wife is expecting. Could you pray? Could you say a few tehillim for her that she should have an easy delivery? And then they call me up and they say, Rabbi, you can stop praying. Baruch Hashem, she had a baby boy. I said, now you have to start praying. What do you mean? Now you stop praying? That's the easy part. The labor, I mean, it's easy as it could be, but that's the easy part. Now that the baby is born, now you take out the tehillim because stop praying your eyes out, because who knows what's going to be, especially in this world over here. So the pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu vayev koto aviv. The tears that a father has. There was a boy in the yeshiva. The boy in the yeshiva is an exceptional child. Exceptional in the learning. And when they investigated, they saw that every morning his father, when he says, Birkat HaTorah, V'niyah Anachnu, V'tze'enu, he's crying with tears, praying that his children, Kulanu Yod'ei Shemecha, V'lom De'Torat Kalishma. So when you have a father that's praying with Dema'ot and Birkat HaTorah that his children should succeed in yeshiva, and they should behave, they should have Yirat Shamayim, and his grandchildren, V'tze'enu, so it works. So when it says Vayevko to Aviv, that's basically saying Yaakov Avinu was praying with tears in order to Yosef to make it. And not only that, but he said Ki ered el beni. If I need be that I have to make a trip to Egypt, which eventually he made that trip, that's the demut diyuknosh in Ritalo Mahalon, so be it. What does it mean over here when he says, when the pasuk says, "Vayma'en lehitnachem," he refused Now that word is a rare word. It's not written too many times in the Torah by Ma'en. There is maybe one other time where this word is written. If you go to Perek Lamedtet, in the story of Yosef and Eshet Potiphar. There it is. But Tisa Eshet Adonai v'Taneh al Yosef. Eshet Potiphar looks at Yosef. But Tomer, and she says, Shechva imi. And what does the Pasuk say? Vayma'en. And he refused. Oh, and over here we have a Pasuk Vayma'en. So I saw brought down from the Sefarim HaKedoshim, that they come along and say, that why are those two words connected? The Vayma'en by Yaakov and the Vayma'en by Yosef. And the explanation is that it's the Vayma'en of Yaakov to stop praying and to stop crying and to accept it. That Vayma'en already created the Vayma'en of Yosef. Where did he get the koach to be Vayma'en? Because his father was Vayma'en. Sometimes the father says, all right, listen, the kid's in college already. So what are you going to do? He got corrupted already. When he gets older, he'll come back, and then they move on. What is Yaakov? Yaakov is going to take a roll of the dice on Yosef's spiritual future. He said, okay, let him go to college for 4 years. He'll dorm. He'll go to the fraternity. He'll go to all the Sitrah Hara, all the Kelipot, all the Shedim. And Bezat Hashem, you know, he'll grow up, he'll mature, he'll come back, he'll marry a Jewish girl. In the meantime, who knows what he's doing over here? Yaakov Avinu's reaction was, Vayma'en, unacceptable. He didn't stop for a minute. Oh, so the Torah tells us, his Vayma'en, that activated the Vayma'en of Yosef, the Tefillah, because there was a direct line between what Yaakov Avinu did and Yosef's reaction. We continue. The Pasuk writes, when Yosef was in Mitzrayim, Vayhi Hashem et Yosef, Vayhi Ish Matzliach. And Hashem was with Yosef. What does it mean? Because Hashem was with him, that's why he was Matzliach. What does that mean? Hashem is with everybody. Vayhi Hashem et Yosef, Vayhi Hashem et Eliyahu. Vayhi Hashem with all of you. What, we had a thought to think that Hashem wasn't with Yosef? Hashkachav Hashem is with everybody at all times. What does it mean, Vayhi Hashem et Yosef? Vayhi Ish Matzliach. So I saw Brodan in Sfarim. Who brings it down over here? We should quote it because it's a beautiful hadush. The Magen Avraham to the Magid of Trisk. He says, if you take the name Yaakov, the numerical value of Yaakov is how much? 182. This is absolutely correct. Well, 182 is a very important number because it's divisible by 26. It means you're able to divide it by Yudke Vavke. How many Yudke Vavkes are in Yaakov's name? 7. That means 7 times 26 is 182. So it's divisible by 7. 7 by 26, 7 times 26. Yosef is how much? Yosef is absolutely correct. That's the way you're supposed to answer these questions. Like the tip of your tongue, like you know your phone number. He's right, that's right. That's impressive. Yosef is 156, also divisible by 26. How much divisible of 26 is it? 6. Interesting. Which means Yaakov has one more Havaya than Yosef. I expect it. He's the father. Yosef is only the son, not his father's level. He got six energies. And Yaakov Abinu has 7 energies. The problem is, Yaakov Abinu needs to give some of his energy to Yosef because Yosef now is in trouble. He's in Mitzrayim, Arvat Mitzrayim, and we know Yaakov Avinu's main strength was what? Kedusha. 84 years, the Pasuk says, he was Shomer himself, B'kedusha of Tahara, Reuven Bechori Atta, Kohi Vereshit Oni. Yaakov Avinu says, the first of my strength, 84 years, was in Reuven. Kohi Vereshit Oni. That shows you the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu. So he needed to give Yosef a boost of that Kedusha of Yaakov. So the Pasuk says, Vayhi Adonai et Yosef. He added a Yudke Vavke to Yosef to make him Yaakov. Vayhi Ish Matzliach. Now don't ask me how you do that. It's not like donating blood. Don't ask me how to do that. That's not a fair question. You don't ask on the Diraj, how do you transfer a Havaya to your son? Go ask somebody else. That's not my purpose to explain you these things that are not necessary to be explained. I'm explaining to you the Dirash that Yaakov Avinu, through his tefillot, through his kavanot, was able to put a havaya. So now Yosef is carrying seven. He's carrying seven, so he has the kiddushavya, but that's all Yaakov's work. So when Yosef is succeeding in Mitzrayim, it's only because he has a father back home in Canaan that's orchestrating everything behind the scenes. And Yosef is Ish Matzliach. It's not your Hatzlacha. The Hatzlacha of the child is the Hatzlacha of the father. We continue. Yosef eventually overcomes the Nisayon of Eshet Potiphar. You all know the Midrash. The Midrash says that when he overcame that Nisayon of Eshet Potiphar, it paved the way that all the Jewish men, when they went down to Egypt, they were careful and they didn't make any mistakes with the Egyptian woman. Don't take what I just said for granted. We're in America now for 200 and 250 years. Look at the assimilation rate in America. We can't say that in America, the Jewish people stayed to themselves, Bar Minan, and they didn't go to the... But in Egypt, they were there for 210 years. Logic says that after 210 years, there's going to be a melting pot. There's going to be assimilation. There was no assimilation. There's one case of Shilomit Bat Divri, Pirsemah Katuv. But besides her, the men, it says, were Gidurim. They were fenced, ba'alayot. Where did they get the strength? So the Midrash says, Ma'aseh Shevatim Siman Nebanim. Ma'aseh Yosef Siman Nebanim. When he overcame that Yetzer, that already created a nuclear bomb of Kedusha, that the men would be able to preserve themselves. Yaakov knew that. When Yaakov saw that video clip of Yosef and Eshet Potiphar, he understood the ramifications. He said, if he fails this test, there's going to be fallout for many days. You know, when a nuclear reactor melts down. I was in Ukraine many times. And you drive by certain areas and they're still quadrant off. You say, what's going on over here? What's the quadrant off? Oh, this is still from Chernobyl. Chernobyl? When was Chernobyl? I don't know when was Chernobyl. 1980-something? They're still quadranting off areas because of the fallout of something that happened 30-some-odd years ago? That means such a tragedy, there's consequences for many days. Yaakov understood that if he doesn't pass this test, it's going to affect not only Yosef, but it's going to affect Klal Yisrael for many years in the future. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Vayit'abel al beno yamim rabim. That's the yamim rabim. That if he fails the test of Eshet Potiphar, there's going to be fallout worse than Chernobyl. There's going to be fallout for thousands and thousands of Jews, hundreds of thousands of men in Egypt. There's going to be assimilation, will be rampant. He was worried about not only what's going to be with Yosef, but the Yamim Rabim element of it. Oh. Now I need to tell you something else. The Ramban always talks about this. He talks about Po'el Demyon. What does Po'el Demyon mean? When the prophet Yirmiyah came to Baruch ben Neriah, he tells the prophet, take the book, put a rock on the book, and go throw the book in the water and let the book sink. And then he says, so too Bavel will sink like the book sank. And that's the story over there. Ask yourself a question. And if you don't take the book and drown the book, what is that, a theatrics? What's this drama over here? Take the book, put a rock in there, kacha, yitzba' Bavel. Bavel's going to drown like the book. So the Ramban calls that Po'el Demyon. For God to do something, the prophet first must act it out on earth, and that charade, we'll call it, activates a reaction in heaven. That's why, by the way, you'll see the Avot were shepherds. And you see them dealing with the shepherds and the sheep and everything's with the sheep all day long. Because the sheep represent Klal Yisrael. So everything they did with the sheep, they're dealing with Klal Yisrael. So that's the Po'el Demyon, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu would then follow whatever that what we're doing. So don't think Abraham was playing with sheep all day long. That Mary had a little lamb to have deal. When the Avot are dealing with sheep, Yaakov's dealing with sheep for 20 years in Ramban's house. Akudim, Nikudim, Berudim, whatever. Because they were dealing in a charade of Po'el Demyon, so then God would do the same to Am Yisrael. It's a very important klal. Put that on your rules list of learning Sefer Bereshit. The number one rule is Ma'aseh Avot Siman Nebarim, of course. The second rule you have to put is to the Po'el Demyon. Helps you understand many of these episodes over here. Now what happens? Yaakov Avinu was Ish Emet. That's his Midah. Is it possible that somebody that works on the Midah of Emet, that God would cause him to say a lie? There's many stories of people that are very careful on kashrut. And they're very meticulous and they never ate anything. And God protects them. They serve the food and all of a sudden have a stomach ache and they decide that we can't eat it. And they find out that the food that was given to them was taref. And the guy next to him ate the taref. And they say, hey, what happened? They say, because you were not careful with kashrut. So therefore God said, you're not careful. I'm not sure what I have to go out of my way to help you. But you were makpid on this. Lo ye'uneh latzadik kol aven. The tzadik is protected. Shomer Hashem. Et kol ohavav. God protects those that he loves. So Yaakov Avinu's Ish Emet. And then what happens to Ish Emet? They come along and they say, Hakenna ketonet ben chahi im lo. Is this the ketonet of your son? And what does he answer? Ketonet beni. It's not true. It's not true. How could he? What do you mean it's not true? It is the ketonet. It is the ketonet. Yeah, but ketonet beni hayar a'achalatu. That part's not true. You're right, it was the ketonet of Yosef. But hayara a'achalatu didn't happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did hayara eat Yosef? No, he didn't. It didn't happen. That's the lie of the brothers. So what? Yaakov Abinu, he says the shaker. Ketonet beni hayara a'achalatu. How could the one that's so careful on midat ta'emet, Anuchi, Esav Bechorecha, so meticulous that he doesn't say a sheker? And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a blatant sheker to the mouth of Yaakov Avinu. Again, do I have to say it clearly? When you're reading this pasuk, is this a true statement? Ketonet bini hayara achanatu. Is that a true statement? Yes or no? Go slow, go slow. Ketonet bini hayara achanatu. Achanatu, miza achanatu. Achanatu mat, ketonet? Mi achanet? Is it emet or no? Why are you giving me a hard time tonight? I'll tell you why you're giving out there, because you don't want to say Yaakov made a sheker. That's a dig. I don't say Yaakov made a tzaddik. You don't want to. You can't accept it. I also can't accept it, but we give answer. He wasn't lying. He wasn't lying. He actually was telling the truth on the highest level. Go back to the story of Eshet Potiphar. It's an amazing story. She grabs, but titpesehu bebigdo, she grabs the shirt. Now, what happens at that point over there? Yosef runs out. Eshet Potiphar, all she has in her hands is a shirt, which ends up becoming the evidence, which is forcing us to say that that's the only part that she was able to get of Yosef. She wasn't able to get Yosef, but she was only got his shirt. Sephorno explains over there that how come Yosef didn't grab his shirt, but somebody's pulling your shirt, you pushed him away. Because he doesn't even want to stay another second over here. Every second there's a temptation, Chas v'shalom, he could be nikshal. So what did Yosef do? He ripped his shirt, he pulled his shirt off. She was pulling it, he let her take it, so he ran out. Yaakov Avinu comes along and says, Ketonet bini hayara'a achalatu. The hayara'a eshet Potiphar, all she's only able to get is the ketonet of bini. That's a prayer of Yaakov Avinu. Understand that? That's what he's saying. Ketonet bini, I hope. He's praying. There should only be the ketonet bini hayara'a achalatu. Once he got that clip of eshet Potiphar, how's he going to get out of there? It's ketonet bini. That's why Rashi says ketonet bini, hizu, but the pasuk doesn't say it. Because Yaakov wasn't referring to specific, this ketonet over there, he's referring to the ketonet of Yosef that he's going to wear in Egypt. So he says ketonet bini hayara achalatu. But where's the poel demyon? Which means Yaakov Avinu needs to do something in order to activate that Yosef at that moment will rip his shirt off and not try to grab it. So the next pasuk says, Vayikra Yaakov Simlotav. The ripping of the clothes, Yaakov's ripping his clothes with kavana. That Vayikra Yaakov Simlotav is a poel demyon, so Yosef will rip his clothes. Don't you understand? There's a blessing we make every morning. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Oter Yisrael B'Tefara. What is that blessing? That's for the hat. The men put on a kippah, the ladies put on a hat or a wig or whatever they put on their heads. So they say a blessing, Oter Yisrael B'Tefara. The crown of a Jewish person, the heads, is a tefara. It's a crown. We don't walk in the street bareheaded. The Hashem should see our bald head. We cover it up. It's kavod, shechina le'ma'ala mirosho, yare malka. So we make a blessing. Oter Israel b'tefara. God crowns us with a tefara. And then we make another blessing. Ozer Yisrael b'gbura. What garment is that? That's the belt. The belt is called an ezor. What's the inyan? You make a belt? The belt is an accessory. I understand you want to make a beracha on shoes, sha'asadi kol surki, because you can't move without shoes. Malbish arumin, that's the clothes. So you want to start with accessories, so make a beracha for your watch, make a beracha for your sunglasses, make a beracha for all for the high, for the Magen David, so make a beracha for all these accessories that people wear, for the barrettes and for all that stuff. No. There's no beracha for accessories. Belt. Okay, fine, I accept. Make a beracha for the belt. And what's the beracha? Ozer Yisrael, you belt us, b'gbura. The belt is gibura. What's gibura? Give us strength. What's the strength of the belt? The Hakamim tell us that the belt, exactly, is with one word like this, you explain the whole thing. The belt serves as a divide between upper body and lower body. Upper body is the spiritual side of man. Brain, neshama, the heart, senses. Lower body is the area of lust. Lower body is physical. V'zot ha-beracha asher berach Moshe isha Elohim. Isha Elohim. They say Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to sublime himself from ish to Elohim, his whole body. But generally speaking, the physical part of man is below the divide, and the spiritual part of man is above the divide. And the divide is the belt. And we have to put a mechitza. Like when we come to a minyan, we put a mechitza. We cannot have... you cannot put these in the same domain. Very important to wear a belt. Don't ask me, we're about suspenders. Belt we're talking about. Ozeri said Bigbura. You ever see the Hasidim before they pray? What do they call it?
Gartel.
Okay, fine. They take this, like this long, very long rope of some sort, of cord or whatever it is, and they swing it around their waist a few times. They make a kafod, they go around themselves, and then they what are they doing with that over there? What is that over there? That's Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura. They're creating the great divide between upper body and lower body. The Gvura that we're talking about is Ezehu HaGibor HaKoveshet Yitzro. The separation already gives a person Gvura. When the Jew puts his belt on in the morning, it's Kavanot. That the upper body should overtake the lower body. And the belt is a religious article, so it's not a watch or sunglasses. The belt is Kodesh. Deserves its own beracha, like the kippah. Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura. Yaakov Avinu, alav shalom, knew that the challenge of Yosef is going to be in Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura, in the Kedusha. How is he going to remain Kadosh in Egypt? So what does the Pasuk write? The Pasuk says, Vayasem Sak B'Mutnav. He put on a gartel. Yaakov wasn't a Hasid, that's for sure. He was a Sfaradi like me, but that's that I have no doubt. If you learn one thing from the Shi'ur, that you can take home from the Shi'ur. But nonetheless, Why did he put the sack on Mutnav? Because since Yaakov Abinu is creating all these prayers and bichiyot and kabanot and tikkunim in order to save the son, so one of the things he has to do is sack al motnav in order that Yosef as-Sadiq will have the ability to be gover, to overcome. If you learn the parasha like this, everything is good now. Later on, when Yaakov sees Yosef that he's alive, that's a few weeks from now. Well, we're ready. We're into the story already. So, what does he say over here when he finally sees him? Where's that in Vayigash? What are the brothers? The brothers go home, and they tell Yaakov. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. So the pasuk says, "Ve'yagidu lo lemor, od Yosef hai, v'chi hu moshel bechol eres Mitzrayim." They told him two things: Yosef is alive, and he's the leader of Egypt. Ve'yapok libo ki lo he'emin lahem. He didn't believe them. Which part didn't he believe? Till now you learned he didn't believe he was alive. That's what you're learning, right? You always learned that way. He didn't believe he was alive. But it cannot be. Because go further in the Pesukim. He sees the wagons, or the agalot. He said, Rav, od Yosef ben Ihai. What did he see? The wagons. What were these wagons? Very good. The wagons were a symbol that Yosef was telling his father. I remember the last sugya we learned before I got kidnapped. We were learning Egla Arufa. When he saw that, he says, now I believe, which means, why does that prove that he's alive? That proves that he's religious. When he saw that he's religious, he says, now I believe. Alive, I knew he was alive. That you have to tell me. But he says, Od Yosef hai v'chihi moshel b'chol eres Mitzrayim. That doesn't work. That he can be alive, meaning spiritually alive, and still be the leader of Egypt, impossible. He says, not that, I'm telling you. It's alive, okay, we didn't know that you knew he was alive. But he's alive, and he's religious. Can't be. Here's the agalot. He says, oh. Now he says, "V'techi ruach Yaakov abiem, Rav od Yosef ben Ihai." The only way he believed them is once he saw agalot, because that tells me that the only thing that he had a disbelief is that Yosef could still be religious, because that was his main concern. Again, with all the tikkunim that he made, he's still nervous. Who knows if they worked? He went to the window, he prayed, Musaq, Bayikra. But the Ma'aseh, the father's still nervous. How can it be? Based on this, we understand a midrash in this week's parasha. I'll just read you the midrash. I'm telling you, these Hiddushim come from the Sefer that I'm reading, Imre Kodesh, from the great Admor. Listen to Midrash in this week's parasha. Lefi shetafas Yaakov Abinu et asak, lefichak eno zaz, lo mimenu velo mibanav, velo mibene banav, al sof kol adorot. Because Yaakov Avinu put on the sackcloth, he paved the way that throughout the generations, the Jews are going to always wear sackcloth. Why? That doesn't sound such like a good thing. You want to tell me because Yaakov ate ice cream, so we're all going to eat ice cream. That I understand. No, he wore sackcloth, He paved the way. All Jews forever going to wear sackcloth. Don't do us any favors. Don't wear sackcloth. What kind of midrash is this? Without tonight's clash, you can't understand this midrash. And the explanation is by Yaakov Abinu putting the sackcloth in order to protect himself and his children for the Kiddushah. So that already would create a Maaseh Avot Siman Nabanim that throughout the generations there would also be that inyan that wherever Am Yisrael goes in the Galut, they'll be able to put on the sackcloth as well. They'll be able to make that imaginary divide between upper body and lower body. It's a praise, that sackcloth that he wore. L'shevach. Yesh dorshim oto l'shevach. What does this have to do with Hanukkah? I'm not obligated to make any connections. My contract doesn't say that I have to connect the parasha to the Hanukkah. Suffice it that I said something open for the parasha. Next week we'll talk on Hanukkah, but if you needed to just draw a line to Hanukkah, Malchut Yavan also, one of their things was Arayot. They would take all the maidens. First, before they would get married, they would have to go to the governor and make avera with them. They were perverted. They were low, big into the arayot. The holy books tell us that Yavan was the antithesis of what Yosef stood for. Yavan is the opposite of Yosef. The king of Yavan is Antiochus. Do the math. Antiochus is Gematria Yosef. It's the other side of it. Antiochus, Melech Yavan, is pushing his agenda of Arayot, which is connected to Yosef. And what protected Yosef in Egypt? His father's image. What's going to protect us today, Rabotai? Today, Malchut Yavan, although they're not here anymore, no more Greeks, but the influence of the culture, Lo Aleinu, in America, we need the protection. We need the Muddi Yukno Shel Yaakov to come down and protect us. And he comes down in the image of what? Of a menorah. And where do we put the menorah? By the halon. Halon Rashi Tevot. Lamed Vav Nerot Hanukkah. Halon, Lamed Vav. We light 36 candles. One, and then two, and then three, and then four. We leave the Shamosh. Halon, Lamed Vav Nerot Hanukkah. That means when we light the menorah in our windows, you have to tell your children, there's Yaakov Avinu, he's coming to the window in order to protect our homes, that there shouldn't be the influence of Antiochus, Gematria Yosef. How much is Melech Yavan equal? Melech Yavan, 156, Gematria Yosef also. Antiochus Gematria Yosef, Melech Yavan Gematria Yosef, the same story. So the only way you can be protected is what? You need Demud Diyukno. So every night, the next 8 nights of Hanukkah, Demud Diyukno comes down and protects us. Comes a great rabbi called Chida says, why 8 nights? Why 8 nights of Hanukkah? What was the question? The famous question of the Bet Yosef. Only 7 nights, the first night wasn't a miracle, not enough oil for the first night. The famous question. You heard it 1,000 times. So Haidah says, you're right. But Am Yisrael, in the times of the Yevanim, one of the mitzvot that they took away from us was mitzvat milah. They didn't let us circumcise ourselves. They were pogem in Kiddushat Yisrael. That's below the divide. They took away the Geburah. What's the Lashon in the Bimim Atityah Ben Yohanan Kohen Gadol? Shmai Benav. כשעמדה מלכות שעבן על שער שכנו ורצונת ואתה ועמדת עליהם וסתם ראת וגם דן הרם להם ונוסק וסדת גיבורים ביד חלשים לא מלכות יוון גזרה was an עריות. Imagine that they made a decree, no ברית מילה. So Hida says we do 8 days of Hanukkah כנגד ברית מילה, because that's the holding out of the Kiddushah that we have to bring back to Am Yisrael. So the 8 days of Hanukkah strengthens the Kiddushah of Am Yisrael. So everything works. You have the window, Yaakov Avinu, the Halon, the 8 days of Brit Milah. Lo Alman Yisrael, we're very lucky that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget us. ואף כמזאת בהיותם באורס אויביהם לא מאסתים ולא געלתים לכלותם. עמו אנוכי בשרה. 2,000 years of exile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu every year sends down Yaakov Abinu to the window in order to give Am Yisrael a chizuk. No coincidence then why always, 99% of the time, Parashat Vayeshev will come on Hanukkah. Incidentally, that's why on that day, when Yosef went into the house of Eshet Potiphar, the pasuk says, on that day when he entered La'asot Melachto, it says, Vahi kehayom hazeh, and it was that day, kehayom hazeh, and if you look at the Alani scene, we also say, דנתה דינם נקנתה לך עשית שם גדול וקדוש בעולמך ולעמך ישראל עשית תשועה גדולה ופורקן כהיום הזה. What's the כהיום הזה? There's a mention of this story in the Amidah, the כהיום הזה story, because that story, what happened to Yosef, repeats itself every Hanukkah to Am Yisrael. Kayom hazeh, there's an allusion to the Kayom hazeh. There's much more to say on this. So I fulfilled my obligation to connect it to Hanukkah. That's for sure. The lesson to us is that the Hanukkah is a time to re-strengthen ourselves in the Inyan of the Kiddushah. And where does Kiddushah begin? The eyes. Yeah, Kedesha. Ibainayim ala derech. The Kedusha is found in the eyes on the road. And that's why on Hanukkah we come to purify our eyes. And laru reshut ishtamesh bamela lerotam bilvad. We come and look at the eye, we purify the tikkun ainayim. Hanukkah is tikkun ainayim. So you just look at the lights of the menorah. And that brings the Kiddushah inside of us. Listen to a midrash, and I'll conclude with this. You see, I'm controlling because there's a lot to say. Yaakov ne'emar bo vayikra Yaakov simlotav. Uman nistaker, what was the reward that he got for ripping his clothes? The Yosef yashit yado al einecha. The midrash says that at the end of his life, who closed Yaakov's eyes? Yosef. It's a big zechut to be the last one there to close Yaakov's holy eyes. The eyes that never saw anything, only Kiddushah's whole life. And who had the zechut to touch those holy eyes and close them? Yosef. In what merit? Yaakov Avinu ripped his clothes. That created a po'el dimyon. That Yosef will be able to rip his shirt off and run out. He didn't look. He watched his eyes. Even under such a circumstance, he didn't peep, he didn't pick his eyes up. And that zechut, you have the zechut to close the holy eyes of Yaakov Avinu. When we come on Hanukkah, we come to the menorah, we come to the holy eyes of Yaakov, that's Yaakov Nidetab al-Bahalon. You look at the eyes of Yaakov Avinu. And that brings the Kiddusha of Am Yisrael. Therefore, you don't run away. You don't run away. You don't light the candles, and then Vayibrach Yaakov, you run away. You have to sit there. You sit there, and you watch it, and you sing Pizmonim, or you eat tea, whatever your custom is. You want to eat potato pancakes. I don't care what you do by the menorah. But the point is, you have to sit by the menorah and enjoy. That's not considered hana'ah, looking at the menorah. Mitzvot navdi hanot nitanu. To look at the menorah is not considered hana'ah. The benefit is great. Hanerot halalu kodesh hem. They have a kedusha. It's the kedusha of the halon of Yaakov Avinu. Yiratzon, we should be zochet to glean from these great lights. Ma'ase avot siman lebanim. Whatever Yaakov Avinu did, it's not for himself, but it's yamim rabim. It's for the fallout for the future generations. Will be fulfilled on us be'azat Hashem. Bechol banayich limudei Adonai ve'rav shalom banayich. Amen. Ken yiratzon.